Haggai chapter 1, look at verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that hath earneth, earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Verse 7, thus consider your ways. And skip down verse 9, you look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Amen, amen. All right, let's get our mind on the Lord. Before I go into my sermon, I want to do this. I went shopping with my wife and my oldest daughter and my oldest granddaughter yesterday. And I don't like shopping. I'm a man. I don't know a man that likes shopping. If you are a man that likes shopping, I don't know what to say to you. But I know this. I don't like it. And I end up carrying the bags. And I want you to put this picture in your mind. What if you went shopping all through that big old giant mall down there in Chester, they ain't even got a mall. That are in Greenville, up in Greenville. And what if you went shopping and you had this big old shopping bag and you're just so happy walking through that thing and you keep buying stuff and putting it in, buying stuff. Of course, if you're a woman, you're going to have to look at three things before you buy one, and you'll buy something and buy something. And then when you get home, you realize your bag is empty. And you flip it upside down and you find a what? A hole in it. I tell you what I would probably do. I'd backtrack. I'd backtrack. Everywhere I went, I'd go looking for it. But when you backtrack, here's what you're going to find out. Some of those things got run over by cars in the parking lot. Then you get in the building, some of those things are going to be picked up by other people. And then some of them, you'll have not a clue ever whatever happened to them. Now, wouldn't it be something to go through your life with the shopping bag of life and get down to the end and realize you had a hole in your bag? Now, the people of Israel, God told them, he said, I want you to build me a temple. And he said, you've got houses, and they're nice, and my house is falling in. He said, I want you to go and rebuild my house. And he said in verse 4, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? And God told him to do that, and guess what? He said in verse 9, talking to these people, you look for much, and lo, it came to little, and when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. You're not getting anything. And I call for a drought upon the land, upon the mountains, upon the corn, upon the new wine, upon the old, upon that which the ground bringeth forth, upon me and upon cattle, upon all the labor of the hands. And he said, because you're not doing what I told you to do, I'm not blessing what I've already given you. I'm not going to send you rain. I'm not going to let your crops grow. I'm not going to bless your family. I'm not going to bless the work of your hands simply because you're out of the will of God.
Amen.
And you know, living out of the will of God is like having money in a bag with holes in it.
Amen.
You ever had a pocket with a hole in it?
Yes.
I hate keys. I don't like to carry keys. I despise keys. That's why I lose my keys, because if I put them in my pocket, and I'm sure this happened to you because I'm sure going to college, you got a lot of keys. I'm just teasing. You're lucky to keep up with one to that room you sleep in. But I carry all those keys, and they tear my pockets up.
Yes.
Yours do that. You,
You're the boss, man. I know you ought to do that. And got all them keys, and I reach in there, and my keys done tore, because they get caught on my pocket every time I try to get them out, they get caught. And so I tear up my pockets, and then sometimes I put stuff in my pocket, and I realize it's gone because I got a hole in it. Where if I hadn't been dumb enough to keep the keys in the pocket, it wouldn't have a hole in it. And our life, same way. A lot of times we'll go through life, and as we go through life, we realize all this stuff that we're accumulating, it doesn't stay. Where did it go? Where did they go? Where did the job go? Where did the people go? Where did the family go? Where did the children go? Because we're out of the will of God. Now, I thought about some things, just a few things, four things. Turn to Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 said, blessed be the God of our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. Did you know that a life without Jesus is like a bag with a hole in it?
Amen.
Now, hey, all good gifts come from the Father above. I mean, if you got up this morning, that came from Him. If you walked out of the house, that came from Him. If you can take a big breath, take a big breath right here. You look like you did. Take a big breath. That came from God. All good gifts, all these things that everybody gets, sinners and saints alike, every one of us is blessed every day.
That's right.
When I was lost and going to hell, God didn't let me go to hell every day. That was a blessing. And every day that He didn't kill me or let somebody else kill me, that was a blessing. Amen? And every breath. Now, I didn't see it that way. I saw it as me putting stuff in my bag. I'm a big, tough guy. I'm putting stuff in my bag, and ain't nobody going to get it. This is my bag. And then as I grew and as I matured, I realized everything slipped through my hands like a bag with a hole in it. Everything slipped. Your friends would slip through your hands. Where they at? Your family, where they at? You know, your job. It got to where when I'd go get a new job, I'd have to ask for a second piece of paper to put my work history on. Used to have to fill out applications. You remember that, don't you, brother? You remember that? I don't know if you ever had a job or not. But anyway, I had so many jobs, I'd have to flip it over to the back and put some more jobs on. And I had so many jobs, I couldn't keep up with the dates. I just had to put month and year. I didn't know when I got hired and when I got fired or quit or whatever it was. I couldn't keep a job. And I was a pretty good fella, I thought. And I was a real good worker. It's just that everything I tried to accomplish fell through the holes because it was a life without Jesus Christ. And by the way, if you keep living that way, when you come to the end of your life, there's going to be nothing there.
Right.
Yeah. Your bag's going to be empty.
Yeah.
There's going to not be a bunch of people there that love you and weep over you.
Yeah.
There's going to be a bunch of people there that wants it. If in case something didn't slip through the bag, they're going to be there to get it.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I preach funerals where they've tried to take jewelry and everything else off the bottom.
Yes.
Listen, I'm telling you, if you live a life without Jesus Christ, when you come to the end of that life, now you say, well, that's a long time off. No, I preach the funerals of young people. Don't think it's a long way off.
Yeah.
I preach funeral babies. Don't think it's a long way off. But you got so many days to go shopping through this old world. You got a bag. And if you live life without Christ, everything you put in that bag, God's going to say, I'm going to breathe on it, and it's going to go away. It's gone. You want to know why cremation, I know it's going to touch some little feelings here, but I'm going to say it anyway. You want to know why cremation is such a popular way to have a funeral now? It's because people, when they get to the end of their life, they ain't even got enough money to pay for a funeral. So we have to burn you and put you in a little cardboard box, your ashes, and nobody's got anything to go back to. I go to my mama's grave sometimes. I know where she's buried. She's buried full. And I know my mama's not that old, but I talk to my mama, and I know she can hear me in heaven, because I've got a place I can go to that she didn't live a life to where she ain't even got a cemetery plot.
Yeah.
Man, that went over like a load of bricks. It's the truth. I sold life insurance for 5 years. I can tell you what I'm talking about is true. Because these people are going through life and they're putting in selfish, self-centered, ungodliness and all this stuff. And when they get to the end of their life, their family comes to look in their bag and there ain't nothing there. No good works, nothing left behind. Some old dingy pictures have faded out. And you want me to preach your funeral with one of those old dingy pictures laid up here. Because that's all that you had left in your bag. Hello. Whoo, preacher, you're in trouble now. Life without Jesus Christ is like a bag with holes in it. I know I own the bag.
Amen.
When he saved me, he gave me a new bag.
Amen.
And it's holy.
Yeah.
That's whole proof. Holy. I'm not talking about W-H. I'm talking about H. Holy. Holy. I've got a holy bag. And since it's his bag, it's eternal.
Yes.
And it's indestructible. And every day he's giving me gifts to put in that bag. Every day he's giving me gifts to put in that bag. And as long as I stay in his will, hey, let the winds blow and the storms come. And let no devil rage, but that bag don't have any holes in it. I'm going to keep what he's given me.
Amen.
Number two. You still with me?
Yes,
Psalm 119:04. Psalm 119:04. Woo. Some people went today to church today with their bag and they're going to come out empty. Amen. Amen. I could preach a whole sermon on that one. Psalm 119:4. Thou hast commanded us. Now wait a minute. God has commands? Oh, I thought he was a God of love. And if he loved me, he wouldn't have commands. Well, he loves you. That's why he gives you commands to keep your life right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
He, and God, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts. That's his word. Diligently. Did you know life's education without the precepts of God, without the commands of God, without the education of God through his word and through his spirit? Did you know life without the education of God is like a bag with holes in it?
Amen.
There's a lot of educated people going through this world right now.
Yes.
Some of them are ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth by themselves. And they've got PhDs and DDs and LLBs and I don't know what TH, I don't know what all. They got all kind of letters behind their name. They might have a lot of letters, but they really got a bag with holy, because all that learning is falling through that bag.
Amen.
It's not going to do them any good when they come to their destination, which is the end of life.
Amen.
What difference does it make if you can tell me how a neutron works? If you ain't got enough sense to see yourself as a sinner and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then put that in your bag. All that other stuff is not going to mean anything. When the doctor walks in there and says, this is it, you got 2 weeks to live, and you better get things right, and you'll say, boy, I've got 25 years of education, I've got a PhD and all this stuff, but I don't know anything about God. And that doctor say, well, you better get to know him real quick.
Right.
It's good.
And all that education. And I'm not against education. You ought to get it. You ought to get it. Ignorance is a pitiful thing.
Yes.
You can be self-educated. You can do whatever you want to do, but you ought to get some education. But this ought to be your number one textbook right here.
Amen.
A life without a spiritual education and a biblical education is in the end an empty bag. Now, you parents listen to me, grandparents, parents. What good does it do to teach our kids all this stuff, you know? And you might teach them how to get a good job. And, of course, I'm saying this, most parents don't teach kids anything anymore. TV does or the computer does. But you might teach your kids, and we raised our kids. We tried to teach them things. But, you know, my number one goal and my wife's was to get them to God.
Amen.
Because we've seen it, we've known it, we've seen it experienced. A person comes to the end of their life. And preacher over here in town told me one day, he said, I'm studying for my PhD. His preaching is dead as this wood I'm leaning on. And I was kind of kidding with him, but he didn't know I was kidding with him. I said, oh, PhD. He said, yeah. I said, I got two at the house. You can have one. He said, you have two PhDs? I said, yeah, post hole diggers. They're hanging on the back of my storage bin. Because all the learning in the world will not be any good if you put it in your bag. When you get to the end of the world, end of your life, that learning has fallen out on life's way, and now you come to the end of your life, and you're as ignorant as a newborn babe. Amen. And by the way, God's going to look at that stuff and say, blow it away. Because you had the will of God. You must be born again.
That's right.
You must. That's what the Bible, that's what Jesus said. Now, Matthew 6:33, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, what does all these things mean? All these things that you need. God shall supply your needs from his riches and glory. And after you get those, if you're right with God, he said he'll give you the desires of your heart. But I got news for you. That doesn't mean Maserati. That means that he'll put the desires in your heart that you need.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, life without God's kingdom is like a bag with holes in it. There's a lot of people out there, and I used to be one of them until I was 23 years old, out there searching.
Yeah.
They're searching, and they're trying everything, everywhere, everybody. And most of the time, they're being misled by people.
Yeah.
And they're out there gathering up things in this world, saying, well, this is going to satisfy me, and this is going to satisfy me, and this is going to satisfy me. Boy, I'm going to get a little of this. I'm going to get a little of that. And boy, look at this nightclub. And look at this drink. And look at this drug. And boy, look at this woman. Look at this man. Woo! I'm going to, hey, by the time I get to the end of my life, I'm going to be so satisfied. And they get up there and they look in their bag and they say, none of that's there.
Yeah. Amen.
It was a waste of time.
Right.
I don't listen to country music. My mama used to listen to country music when I was growing up. And I had to listen to it every morning getting ready to go to school. And it made me hate country music. I didn't want to go to school. And I associated Loretta Lynn with the third and fourth grade. And I associated Conway Twitty with the fifth and sixth grade. And Conway Twitty, he'd sing, hello, wall. And the wall would say, hello, hello. And Conway Twitty, Loretta Lynn or whoever it was would sing, stand by your man. And then a year later she wrote, D-I-B-O-R-T. I hated country music. But I remember one song, and it goes right with this sermon. Wasted days and wasted nights. Amen. Amen. And we run around picking up all this stuff. I'm going to go over there and I'm going to get this. I'm going to try a little bit of that. You done seen that where you go to school. That school's full of those people.
Yeah.
You're going to run around behind and pick up stuff because every one of them got bags and holes in them. And let me tell you something. It is not going to be there when you get to the end. When your shopping spree is over, you're going to look at all your stuff. Well, preacher, you don't know how much money I make. I don't care how much money you make. You ain't taking it with you.
That's right.
And I'd advise you to spend it all because your young'uns are going to fight over it if you don't. Amen. Matter of fact, Bill Gates, one of them's already said that. He said, my wife and I are donating all of our money to other stuff when we die because we don't want to destroy our children.
Wow.
That's why.
Yes, it is.
Now, I'm not saying he's a Christian. I don't know if he is or not. But I know this. A life without God's kingdom is like a bag with holes in it.
Right.
March 5th, 1978, I switched kingdoms. I went from the kingdom of darkness
Amen.
To the kingdom of God
Amen.
In one prayer.
Amen.
Born again. Got a new bag. I think that was a rock song. I got a new bag. And it was full when I got it.
Amen.
Peace, love, joy, happiness, contentment, amen. Hope, health, Full bag. And I'm going through this life right now, and my bag is full, and every once in a while the Lord will reach in there and he'll throw me something a little extra. Amen?
Yes,
and by the time I get to the end of my shopping trip, I'm going to hold it up to him and say, Lord, look what you gave to me. And it's all yours anyway.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'll lay it down at his feet.
Yes.
Outside the kingdom of God, you're wasting your time.
Amen.
Now, y'all got mad at me on that other one. You seem to like this point a little bit. James 2:5. Look at it with me. I'm talking about a life outside of Christ is like money in a bag with holes in it. James 2:5. Life without treasures in heaven. Look at it. James 2. What? James 2:5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he had promised to them that love him? Now, life without Christ in this world is life without treasures in the other one. Jesus told them to lay up their treasures in heaven. He said, because where your treasures are, that's where your heart will be also.
Yes.
You find a man and woman that's happy together, you'll find them at home all the time.
Yeah.
You'll find them together. I went shopping with my wife yesterday. Well, my granddaughter drove me off to one side, and I told her, I said, I want you to help me find my wife for Christmas presents. I always buy my wife about 3 suits of clothes for Christmas, and I don't get them off the sale rack, and I wouldn't know if they was on sale or not. I just see these mannequins, and I say, that looks pretty good. Can you get me something like that? And it saved y'all ladies a whole lot of time if you do that. And I'm going to do that once a year. And so my granddaughter didn't want to do that. She's how old? Eight? She's 18. Oh, Olivia's 18. She said, no, I know better than that. Let me show you what we need to do. And she runs me through this belt store, and she starts showing me purses. I said, my wife really ain't a purse woman, I don't think. I don't see her making a big deal of a purse. But a 19-year-old is, I know that. And so she takes me these purses, leather, and bags as big as... Now, if she carried this bag, her back would be hurting sure enough. She had big old bags, you know. And that's what she likes. No, that's not what she carries. I would have noticed something that, like that. But, then she took me to one about this big, about that big. And it had a strap on it. And it had little straps you put on your shoulders. And she said, look at the price on that one. I looked at $986. I said, we need to leave this area. I said, I could buy her a used Toyota for $200 more. $1,200, I can get you a good used Toyota. Amen. It'd be old. You know what I'm talking about now. There's a lot of people that's got a lot of stuff. And have a lot of money. Now, don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil, the Bible says, not money. Granny Clampett just don't read her Bible when she used to say that all the time. You know, the Bible says it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Because if you love money, you'll do anything to get it. And you'll do anything to keep it. But now, listen, there ain't nothing wrong with money. You need it to go to school. Or does it?
Yes, he does.
And some of you need to get out of jail. But there's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with stuff.
Right.
You know, I'm richer now than I've ever been in my life. And it ain't because preachers make a lot of money. If you ever want to go broke, become a Baptist pastor, you'll go broke. But because God's been good to us.
Amen.
Yeah. Now listen to me. But I don't count taking any of that with me.
Right.
Amen.
And since 1978, I've been trying to lay up stuff in heaven in my bag up there.
Yes.
Yes.
Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. That goes in there. You know you pass from death unto life because you love the brethren. That goes in there.
Yes, Lord.
I mean, Be faithful in all you do. That goes in there.
Yes.
Amen. All that stuff goes in there. Whatsoever you do, do it with all your heart, as
yes.
unto the Lord. That goes in there.
Praise
you know.
The
and you lay stuff up in heaven. You say good works don't save you, and they don't. But you will follow your good works to heaven. They're recorded.
Yep. Amen.
And you'll be rewarded.
Amen.
It says the books were opened, and one of those books are the book of your works.
Yeah.
What you did. Now I'm talking about saved people. Lost people, your works are no good. That's right. All our righteous filthy rag. Doesn't matter how much money you give to that bum sitting out there in front of Walmart or standing with that sign up there at the interstate that really ain't nothing wrong with them. It just makes you feel better to give them some money. Doesn't matter how much money you give away. Doesn't matter how much good works you do. Unless you've been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ,
right.
That stuff will do you no good. Your bag will be empty before you ever stand before God.
Amen.
But you get saved. You get saved by the grace of God. You receive Jesus as your Savior. And then you start laying up stuff in heaven. All your works will be laid up in heaven. And you'll be judged for what you did here on earth. And some of those things come out of that bag may not look good, but there's still going to be some good ones in there. But listen. We lay up treasure in heaven as we live down here. You think it's all about just being saved. Saved just the beginning.
Right.
That's right.
I mean, did you know as a saved human being, this is the closest thing to hell I'm ever going to come right here.
Amen.
And did you know that I'm going to live long as God lives?
Amen.
God have to die before I can die. He said, I give unto them eternal life and they'll never die.
Yeah.
So I'm going to live long as God lives. Yeah. I know some of y'all young people look at me and say, well, you ain't got much farther to go. That's not true. I'm like Moses when God told him, he took him up that mountain, let him see the promised land. And it says Moses was still full of strength. You know, he had all his strength, but God wouldn't let him go to the promised land. And God put Moses to sleep. He killed him.
Yeah.
And he buried him down in the plain. But listen, Moses had works laid up in heaven.
Amen.
And that's where our works are going. Now, he says, if you do it all to be seen of men, you have your reward.
Yes.
That's your reward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're a good guy. Give another 10,000, we'll do the other show. But you see, I'm carrying an eternal bag.
Amen.
I better go on. 1 Peter 1:3. By the way, some will have more in heaven than others. Some works will be burned up by fire, but they'll be saved. So what kind of works are you laying up in heaven? What kind of a treasure do you have laid up in heaven as a Christian? 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, I like that, abundant mercy,
okay.
Hath begotten us again, you've been born again, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, when I was born an illegitimate child. I think 1954, that's right before they started making cars. 1954 I was born. Charlotte, North Carolina. Charlotte Memorial Hospital. Hospital's still there, you just can't see it. It's surrounded by that big old ugly thing they got there now. But I was born in Charlotte Memorial Hospital. My mother's name was Ruth Robinson Roddy because she was married to a man named Thomas Roddy, but he was not my father. I don't know the name of my father. I don't know him. Now back then, that was a terrible thing. It was called illegitimate birth. Illegitimate child. And there's a B word that goes for that, means fatherless son. I was called that a lot. Along with white trash. It was a shame. It was a shame. That's what they wrote sad songs about, children being born that way. Wrote sad songs about it. I think, let's see, what was it? Anyway, one of those women, soul singers sang Love Child. That's what she was singing about. Now listen. Therefore, I have no inheritance. I have no inheritance. The inheritance is passed down from the Father. I have no father. I have no inheritance. Now some of you had good fathers. And they worked hard. And when they pass away, or if they already have, you had some inheritance. Might not have been a whole lot. It might have just been a house, or it might have been a little money, or it might have been maybe an automobile, but you had something that you inherited because of how you were born.
Right.
Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
And that, now, illegitimate children now, even though they're illegitimate, most of them know who their father is. Their mother and father just won't get married. They know who he is. You read them in the paper all the time. You read the paper now, over half the births are illegitimate. It'll have the girl's name as the mother, then it'll have a whole different name as the father. They never get married, but at least they know who their father is. And they may have an inheritance. I don't know. But I know this. They didn't cause white trash for nothing. We had none. We had none. Now, here's the good thing, though. March the 5th, 1978, somebody adopted me.
Amen.
God the Father.
Yes.
He adopted me. Now I am begotten, he says, unto a lively hope according to his abundant mercy.
Amen.
He's adopted me, and I've been begotten again by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So now I have an inheritance. And everything that God has, he's going to give me. He's going to share it with me. Amen. Amen. And did you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He says that I'm going to inherit everything he inherits.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
We're going to be kings and priests.
Yes.
And rule and reign forevermore. Now I've got, but a life without Jesus Christ is like a bag with a hole in it.
Yeah.
And even if you got a rich daddy, by the time you get to the end of your life, you ain't gonna have nothing.
Right.
So I have a lot of money. That don't mean anything. Ask some of these old people around here. Money, the older you get, less money means.
Right.
Money's just something that a means to get what you need. Money don't mean anything. Money has no life in it. Money has no satisfaction in it. Money has no joy in it. Property doesn't. Things don't.
Preach it.
Don't you drive a BMW or something? You're not somewhere fun. Don't you have a BMW? Don't you have BMW or something? Oh, I thought I saw you driving. I thought I saw you driving one of them. I saw a new Corvette. Billy, you seen them new Corvettes? Woo-wee! Now, you're talking about an old man's car. That's an old man's car because a young man can't afford it. You got to be old and have everything paid off because that's like buying another house. But you know what would happen if I got one? After about a month, I'd say, why did I spend all this money? It's just a car. It's just a car. Amen. Now, Challenger Hemi, that's a whole nother story. But anyway, no, I'm teasing. I have an inheritance. When I die, my children have some inheritance. But I hope the greatest thing they'll have is knowing that I have an inheritance in heaven. And if you're living without Christ, you're going through this world. Maybe you're stacking it up for somebody else, but when you die, it's not going to help anybody because it's really going to be no good when you get there and when they get there. It'll be like going through belts. There's a $986 or something like that bag. Put that in there, and there's one of them $600 bags, and there's one of $600 dresses and get me a little bit of jewelry, you know, and you get home and you say, oh, it's gone. Where did it go? A lot of people going to come to their end of their life. And I've been there and tried to minister to them, make them feel better, but you can't. And they're going to say, preacher, I have wasted my life. My kids are going to hell. My grandkids are going to hell. They fuss and fight over stuff. I've burnt bridges. I've broken hearts to get what I want. And now I look in my bag and there's not one thing in there. And I'm dying and there's nothing to satisfy me for all those years back to that shopping spree that God gave me called life. So I'm going to ask you today, how's your bag? That spiritual bag. The first thing you have to do is receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you'll be begotten again. You'll get a new bag of life. But without that, I don't care how far you go, how long you live, how much money you make, what kind of friends you have, how famous you are, you're going to be dying with a wasted life. You'll come up empty. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your inerrancy.